Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White, in today for Beth Ruyak. Few aspects of California's state budget are clear or straightforward. They require a lot of attention to detail, and you have to keep up with multiple hearings and twists and turns in negotiations between lawmakers. Well, we have a person who follows all of that very closely so that you don't have to. It's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler. Hey, Ben, welcome back to Insight for this week's Cap Chat.
Do I have to keep following this?
Well, I hope so. We're counting on you to do it. Hey, we've discussed the budget quite a lot over the last few weeks because it's been constitutionally mandated crunch time for lawmakers. Where are we in the process? What has passed and what hasn't?
Absolutely nothing has passed, but today will be the vote, just confirmed to me by the Speaker's office, for the budget bill in chief. And what I mean by that is you think of the budget, oh, it's just a bill, right? Nope, it is a bill and a heck of a lot of other bills that go along with it. And we can get into that through the course of this segment. But today we will see votes on the budget bill itself, which includes much of, but not the entire, spending plan for the fiscal year that starts in July, because there are still, as we talked about earlier this week, there are still some significant parts of the budget that are still under negotiation between Governor Gavin Newsom and Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins and Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon.
And not counting the trailer bills that you mentioned, we will get into later in this segment, but the budget itself, is it just one simple up or down vote?
I guess that could be the only thing. I was about to say there's nothing simple, but I guess when you phrase it, is it just a simple up or down vote on a bill? Yeah, I mean, one in each chamber. It's going to be a vote, if we want to get technical, on the conference report from the Joint Senate Assembly Conference Committee on the Budget. There's a bill number that goes with it. It's AB 74, and there will be votes in both chambers, I believe, today on that measure.
So, Ben, there's been a lot of discussion here on Insight and elsewhere about subsidies for health insurance, including covering younger undocumented Californians and then other developments in health insurance. What can you tell us about where that stands?
Well, first of all, when we talk about trailer bills, we're still waiting to see some specifics on, we're still waiting to see a trailer bill, a bill with language implementing the budget deal for healthcare. So a lot of those details are not yet publicly available. But what our understanding is based on the conference committee compromise, as we mentioned the other day, is healthcare will be extended in Medi-Cal, California's healthcare program for low-income individuals, will be extended to young adult immigrants, 18 to 25, living in California illegally. It will not be extended to seniors, as had been proposed by immigrant groups and the Senate Democratic budget proposal. Then there's this other big piece of the puzzle, which I had a chance to talk about with Covered California's Executive Director Peter Lee the other day. Covered California, if you aren't quite sure what that is the state's health benefit exchange. And if you're not sure what that is, think of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. That's the state organization created by the Affordable Care Act that runs health insurance plans on the that offers. It's like the individual market for it. So the marketplace for you know, if you don't get coverage through your employer, you don't get coverage through Medi-Cal or Medicare, you get it through Covered California. Or currently, you can choose not to get it at all. But that's going to end at the start of this year, because under this deal, there's going to be a new state individual mandate, and that's going to replace the federal individual mandate penalty that was ended by President Trump and the Republican Congress at the end of 2017 as part of the federal tax overhaul. There's going to be a new individual mandate starting in January, and the revenue from that and some extra money from the state budget, because there's such a big surplus, is going to be going into subsidies, largely for middle-class Californians earning between $50,000 and $75,000 a year, individuals, or about $103,000 to $155,000 or so for families of four. Those are just examples. It's 400 to 600% of the federal poverty limit. So that's what is going to be going into place, paid for by the individual mandate and some extra state tax revenue.
Ben, let's listen to your conversation with Peter Lee of Covered California.
In the big picture, this proposal from the legislation of the governor means, number one, that California is saying, let's take the Affordable Care Act and build on it and make healthcare more affordable for middle-class Californians and even more affordable for people that are already getting subsidies, because healthcare is too expensive. At the same time, it's saying, we are going to stand up and, in essence, fight back to what's happening in Washington, D.C. by putting back the penalty that was removed by Congress, but putting it back will lower health care costs for all Californians. And that's the win-win on this. It's nudging people to do the right thing, to get coverage they benefit from. But it also means health care costs should be between 3 and 5% lower for people that don't get a subsidy. So all Californians end up being winners.
How do you know that insurance companies won't take the profit from having more people presumably being on their plans and just make a profit off it? How do you know that they're going to then lower their rates or perhaps not raise their rates as much as they otherwise would?
So one of the reasons we know that plans can't pocket this money and walk away is California has covered California, which is set up by the people, for the people, and what we're about is holding the plans to account. We are just this week sitting down with health plans, and we negotiate hard on behalf of consumers. We look at every element that goes into the rates, including profits, and we make sure that no plans are making big profits. So they have to turn that money back to consumers. Also, they know if they price higher by 2 or 3%, they're going to lose enrollment. Because in California, we've created a market that consumers drive, not health plans. Which means if a health plan thinks, oh, I'm going to leave that 3 to 5% in there and take it to the bank, they won't take it to the bank because consumers know they can switch plans and leave that health plan high and dry. So that's why we've got a win for consumers. They've got more choice, and they've got Covered California, who has their back in our negotiations.
In some parts of the state, you have more competition. In others, you don't necessarily. And a health plan could, in theory, put the extra profits in or keep the extra profits in.
Yes and no. I mean, one of the things we're looking at in this year, we had about 96% of consumers had multiple choices of health plans, with about 80% having three or more plans to choose from. So there's a very small percentage of Californians that right now only have one plan. We hope that won't be the case in 2020. We've been working very hard to make sure that consumers always have choices. And that's an issue they'll have to wait and see what we talk about in July, but we're optimistic that there will be few, if any, consumers that don't have competition throughout California in 2020.
So let's talk about the subsidies and the help that's going to be available to lower and middle class Californians, starting with Californians who earn between 200 and 400% of the federal poverty level. What's going to be available to them moving forward?
The final language is still in draft, but our current understanding is that for about 700,000 Californians who get subsidies safe from the federal government will get more help, meaning their premium's going to be lowered about $15 a month per household. And that's about a 10% reduction of what they're paying now, because right now they get a lot of federal help. But $15 a month can mean the difference for people deciding to get coverage or not get coverage. It's a meaningful difference for those lower income Californians that already get some help. It's giving them a boost. It's going to make a difference.
And we should say that 400% of the federal poverty level for a single adult, that's just under $50,000 a year. For a family of four, it's about $103,000 a year. Then there's a second pot of money available for people who earn between 400 and 600% of the federal poverty level and use Covered California, or rather could use Covered California because they aren't able to get health insurance through their employers. And that is for a single adult, 600% of the federal poverty level, just under $75,000 a year. And for a family of four, a bit over $150,000 a year. What's going to be available to them?
What we have with the proposal from the governor and the legislature is right now, if you make over that 400%, $70,000 for an individual, you'll get no financial help no matter how much your health care premium is. We have Californians who are working middle class, consultants, working on their own, that may be paying 30% of their income, 28% of their income, because they're older, they live in high-cost areas, and they are footing a huge bill. This financial help will mean for people that are making more money but are spending a huge share of their income, they won't need to pay as much. They may get financial help that will bring their costs down hundreds of dollars per month. Now, it's going to be based on how much healthcare costs them and where they live and those factors, but people that are hardest hit are going to get the most help. And that's the sweet spot of this deal. Now, it won't mean that everyone's going to have health care that's cheap. Health care in California is still expensive. But it means people that under the Affordable Care Act got no help middle-class Californians paying a huge share of their income towards premiums are going to get big assistance to make healthcare truly affordable for them.
When you couple this with the expansion of Medi-Cal to young adult immigrants living in California illegally, people may be wondering, is this all of a push toward single-payer healthcare? And it's not, right? It's a push toward universal healthcare within the existing healthcare system. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say it's very accurate. So the thing is that there's a range of proposals that are on the table. Some relate to people who are buying insurance today who are currently eligible. This builds on the Affordable Care Act and makes healthcare more affordable. The governor and the legislature have also had proposals to expand coverage to undocumented individuals. These are a track towards getting everyone in the tent because the whole community benefits when more people are covered. And healthcare costs end up being lower for everybody when you don't have people showing up in hospitals having uncompensated care. So it's part of a fabric of a system that can and should work better.
I guess the last thing I would ask is, what would you say to someone who maybe doesn't use Covered California, gets it through their employer, and just says, look, I am paying too much for healthcare. I'm paying too much in premiums. I'm paying too much in copays. I'm paying too much in specialty care visits and the like and emergency room deductibles. And this doesn't do anything to lower my healthcare costs. And maybe that's why someone is considering the potential of a single payer system. What would you say to that?
Well, the first thing I'd say to someone who has employer coverage today, how does this benefit them? Look, you've got employer coverage today. We don't want you to keep a job because of health insurance. Because of Covered California, that person can leave their job next year and know they cannot be turned away by a health insurance plan. And if they need it, get financial help. We're part of the fabric of healthcare that means you don't have job lock because of health insurance. That's number one. And number two, part of having everyone covered, it helps lower the cost for people with employer coverage. Historically, employer coverage has paid for uncompensated care. The more we get people covered, the more employer coverage isn't footing the bill for people that show up in a hospital without insurance. It's a win for people, whether or not you're directly benefiting or meaning we have a better, healthier California for everybody.
How soon will these changes for Covered California and people who use Covered California, the subsidies for all sorts of folks here that we've been talking about, how soon will these take effect?
One of the things I think is really impressive about the governor's leadership and what we've seen in the legislature is they've turned on a dime to have these policies take effect in the next plan year, which is 2020. That's right around the corner. We've already been working and developing how this is going to look. So if you have insurance in the individual market today, you'll be able to see if you're eligible for these new state subsidies starting next year, 2020. And similarly, if you think that, you know, I decided to go without health insurance, but I heard there's not a penalty, you'll need to know that starting in 2020, it looks like there's going to be a penalty if you don't get insurance in the individual market and you can afford it. Now, there's going to be exemptions. If health insurance is still way expensive for you, you won't be subject to a penalty, the same rules that apply federally. But that nudge to have everyone get under the tent who can is going to lower healthcare costs for everybody in the individual market, and it's going to help the employer sector out by avoiding those people showing up at hospitals getting care that they can't pay for.
That's Peter Lee, the executive director of Covered California, speaking with Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler, who joins us now as well. Ben, let's talk about trailer bills. They're called trailer because they follow up on the budget, correct?
A trail, yes.
Uh-huh. And as I understand it, so we'll use the building of a house as a metaphor. The framing, the walls, the windows, etc., that make up the main structure represent the actual budget. All of the other stuff, the paint, the window dressings, carpet, etc., are the trailer bills, but also are what make the house a functional home. Is that a good analogy to help understand how trailer bills work?
That works just fine. Yeah, let's go with it. I think the somewhat more technical way of putting it is the trailer bills contain language that implement what's in the budget. So the budget will say, this is the money for this, and that's the money for that. And the trailer bills will say, okay, so this money, which is starting a new program, this is how the program should work. And I think a good example of that is going to be with this individual mandate and the Covered California subsidies.
The budget bill set to be approved today contains a little bit earlier of a version of language. It's going to be amended in a later budget bill coming through, hopefully in the coming weeks. But it contains about $300 million for this for subsidies, and it says there's a 75%, 25% split, you know, between middle class subsidies and lower class subsidies. But there's nothing in there on the individual mandate. There's nothing in there on how the subsidies should work, and you're going to see a lot more details fleshed out in the trailer bill whenever it becomes available. But that gets to the lack of transparency sometimes in how the budget process works, because today the bill that lawmakers are going to vote on contains the first pot of money for this new subsidy program. It does not contain anything about an individual mandate. It does not contain anything about specifics and how the subsidies are supposed to work. None of those details are public yet. And yet lawmakers are going to be asked to vote on a bill, a budget that has that and countless other provisions. And when I there's like it's a 900 plus page budget bill.
All right. Cal Matters had a great piece on trailer bills a couple of years ago. They described why they may be troubling to the party that's not in power. And of course, in California's case, that's the Republicans.
Well, because the Republicans just don't have a seat at the table right now. So up until 2010, when voters passed Proposition 26 that made a budget a majority vote required to pass, it was a two-thirds vote to pass the budget and all the accompanying legislation that would go with it. And that meant that budget negotiations were what was fondly at the time known as the Big Five, the governor and the legislative leaders of both chambers from both parties. And they would all get in a room and they would hammer things out very, very slowly over months. And when there were great budget deficits, the budget would always be late. In fact, even when there weren't big deficits, sometimes the budget would be late. So you had IOUs that the state had to issue, huge deficits, things were, you know, furloughs, things were ugly. And so Democrats, sensing an opportunity, put a ballot measure on they and their allies put a measure on the 2010 ballot requiring a majority vote instead of two-thirds for budget and trailer bills. And they decided to put a nominal stick in there saying if you don't pass the budget bill by the deadline, the constitutional June 15th deadline, lawmakers are going to get their pay docked. Well, the way it all worked out in the end is lawmakers can pass pretty much any bill they want, call it a budget bill, and even if the governor doesn't sign it, if the governor vetoes it, they're going to end up getting paid. There was a back and forth, a sparring with Jerry Brown in the first year, testing it out in 2011. And for a time, lawmakers weren't paid. But then a court later ruled that they should have been paid. And so in the future, that apparently is not going to be an issue. So the main effect of this Prop 25, setting aside the pay issue, is majority vote budget. And a minority party is no longer involved in the negotiations. So they don't see these trailer bills until the public sees them a lot of times, 72 hours before the vote.
That was Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler. Thanks, Ben, for another informative Cap Chat.
If that's what you want to call it.
It was. We have more budget news on our website at capradio.org. And you are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capitol Public Radio.